ever participated in a foot race before? Yeah, we've all been in foot races before. There's a PE teacher that once said that when you're running a race, you don't want to look behind you, right? For two reasons. One, you're going to cost yourself valuable time checking behind you. And the other thing is, reason two is you lose sight of the goal. So when we're running a race, we don't look behind us. All right, we may be curious where the other racers are, but we don't look behind us because we will lose focus of what we're racing towards. And Paul talks about that in Philippians, the verses that Fred's going to be talking about this morning, and I want to share that part of that with you real quick this morning. Maybe? Here it is. It says, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Paul knows. He knows that he's not won the race yet, but he counts himself still racing, still trying to obtain the prize. And he states in verse 13, in running the race, one thing he does is forgetting those things that are in the past and reaching for the future. We can all think of some things from this last year that we didn't get done. We can all think of things that maybe we didn't do right. Maybe we didn't obey our parents in just a couple situations. You know, maybe we didn't share Christ with our friends. Maybe we weren't the better friend that we wanted to be. We can all think about those things, but what Paul is saying is, don't focus on those things. Don't let those things distract you and make you lose focus of the goal. And today's a new day. Today's a new day. And we can forget those things, or not focus on those things, and not let those things drag us down. And remember that today's a new day, and this is a new year, and we still have time to do those things and not miss those opportunities. I'm going to turn it over to Fred.
Thank you, brother. Morning. I do want you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. And pardon me, Philippians chapter 3, if you will, please. Philippians chapter 3. We read verses 7 through 14 in just a few moments here. It's good to be back with you. As you know, we've been on vacation. I appreciate so much Randy Sparks for preaching the Christmas Eve message, for Ben Noel for preaching last Sunday. And I understand that you had a great game night on Christmas Eve. Appreciate Ben and Dawn for putting that together. So it's good, always good to see that. And we just want to praise God for all of that. We're so thankful for all of that. Thankful for these brothers. Got something in my throat, so hang on. So Happy New Year. I'm curious, how many of you have set any New Year's resolutions? Just raise your hand if you set any New Year's resolutions. Nobody here, okay? My next question was, have you already broken them? But since you haven't set them, that's a perfect way to say, I didn't break my New Year's resolutions. I didn't have one to begin with. I find it interesting because we may not really like New Year's resolutions so much, but as Ben just talked about, it is important that we understand the goals that we are to set in our lives to become more what God wants us to be. Do you believe that goals to becoming more like Christ are important? Amen? I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul because he certainly believed that. Listen to what he said. Beginning with verse 7, he said, whatever was to my profit. He said, whatever I've accomplished as a Jew, whatever I've accomplished as a Pharisee, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, refuse, manure, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God, it is by faith. I want to know Christ. Say that with me. I want to know Christ. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to be like Jesus, to win the prize, which is heaven, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, if someone would have asked the Apostle Paul what he wanted more than anything else, he would have answered, I want to know Christ intimately and to be more like him. Now, I think that's a great New Year's resolution. Do you agree with that? I think every Christian would say, yes, it's important that we become more like Jesus. But yet, becoming like him requires taking a deep, honest look at our lives and making personal changes to become better people, to become more what God wants us to be. Now, in these eight verses I just read, the Apostle Paul uses the word I 11 times. 11 times. He's not looking at anybody else but himself. He's not saying, this is what that brother or that sister needs to do to become a better Christian. He's not saying that. He's not looking at the problems of the church and saying, well, if only people would be more involved, you know, in ministry, you know, this church would be growing. He's not looking at the preacher and saying, if only the preacher was doing this or the elders were doing that, this church would be better off. No, the Apostle Paul is pointing his finger at nobody else but himself. He is saying, this is what I need to do to become more like Christ. This is what I need to do to become a better Christian. This is what I need to do to know Christ more intimately. Now I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with everything in my life. Are you satisfied with everything in your life? I think most Christians would say, no, not really. I mean, there are many areas of my life that I need to improve upon. I need to lose more weight. I struggle with that have most of my life. I need more strength and dealing with difficult situations in my life. I mean, there are areas of my ministry that I need to reevaluate and maybe even redevelop. I think most of us can make some improvements, you know, in our lives. And what better time? What better time to start fresh, you know, than right now on the second day of the new year of 2022? I mean, whether we like formal resolutions or not, I believe the beginning of the new year is a great time to evaluate where we are. Where we are, where we like to be. And I think here are some questions that we really need to consider. What do I like about myself as a person? What's going well? What's not going well? What do I not like about myself? And I think here's a critical question. What personal changes can I make that would benefit my family, my church, and myself as a person? On the reverse side of your sermon notes, if you have your sermon notes, is a simple goal sheet that after much prayer and thought, that I would like for you to write down some things that you can do to become more like Christ in each of these areas that I have listed here. And don't just list goals. Here's my spiritual goal, so forth. Don't just list goals, but make plans to achieve them. But I've listed three areas that I think we all could certainly grow in. Okay? And the first one are our spiritual goals. What are my spiritual goals? Is it worship attendance? As we look around the church today, we see so many of our members are gone, are not here today. Many of them may be home because of, you know, concerns about COVID, or maybe there's some illness and sickness. But yet there are those who are not here today because they chose simply not to be here today. So maybe it's in the area of worship attendance. Maybe it's my prayer life. Bible study. Do I spend time with God in prayer? Do I open His Word and read His Word? How about sharing your faith with others, serving others, getting involved in ministry if you're not involved in ministry, increasing your giving, confession, repentance. All these things are spiritual goals where I need to grow spiritually to become more like Christ. And then there are those family goals. What are those family goals? Maybe it's to improve communication, you know, with your spouse, your children, your parents. Maybe it's to be more patient or help around the house, to be more involved with your family. And then there are, of course, those personal goals, you know, maybe losing weight, money management, better to be a better employee, a better student, be more organized, improve social skills, overcome procrastination. And we can think of so many areas where we need to improve upon. But what I really want you to do, I want you to write down some goals in these areas. Spiritual goals, family goals, and personal goals. And look at making an action plan, a plan of action as to how I can achieve these goals in 2022. And it's not about the year. It's not about the year. It's really about our lives and becoming, like the Apostle Paul said, I want to become more like Jesus Christ. And anytime there are positive changes made in our lives, we are coming more and more like Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I truly believe that God wants to bless us abundantly. Do you believe that? I believe that God wants to bless us abundantly, but yet we keep negating His blessings by all of the stupid choices that we make. And so we've got to learn from those choices. We've got to learn from our mistakes and get back to God as our directing us in our lives to become more like His Son, Jesus. Dr. H. Norman Wright. I don't know if any of you know that name. If you are in counseling, if you've done counseling, you know that name. Dr. H. Norman Wright is a Christian psychologist. And in an article he wrote on goal setting, observed that people who make successful changes in eating habits, exercise regimens, relationships, career paths, money management, coping strategies, and so on, rely on one or more key biblical principles that I'm going to share with you this morning. And really, these are just common sense principles, okay? So here are the key principles that Dr. Wright outlines. Number one is this, is to make a commitment to change. Say this with me, make a commitment to change and tell someone, okay? Don't just make a commitment and keep it to yourself, but tell someone. Now, before personal growth can ever occur, a person has to make up his or her mind that change is needed, and then will do whatever it takes to make the necessary changes. The reason I am overweight is because over the years I have not had the desire to eat properly and to exercise in order to get the weight off and to keep it off. That is just the absolute truth. The reason an employee doesn't do well in the job or a student doesn't do well in school is because he or she has no desire to put in the time and effort that it takes. The reason a Christian is not strong in the faith is because he or she does not have the desire to grow in their relationship with Christ through worship, Bible study and prayer, and service to Christ and His church. The reason that many people are involved with alcohol, drugs, immorality, pornography, and other destructive behavior is because they have no real desire to quit. They have no real desire to quit. And I realize that there are some rare exceptions to each of these examples, but let's be honest here. Most of us are not where we want to be and should be because we don't have the commitment, the desire to make the necessary changes in our lives. Do you agree with that? We are there because we just don't have the commitment. But it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, as we set goals in the new year to help us to become more like Christ, we truly need to pray about it and give it to God to help us to have an intense desire and to be committed to do whatever it takes, to whatever it takes to reach our goals so that we can be more and more like Jesus every single day. And furthermore, as I pointed out earlier, if you make a commitment, tell somebody what your goals are. Okay? If you set goals, do not keep it to yourself. And by telling someone your goal, you make yourself accountable to that person, and in turn make that person accountable to you to help you to achieve that goal. I mean, it's much what James talks about in James chapter 5, verse 16, when he says that we are to confess our sins one to another. Bring up that slide, if you will, please, Janine. I mean, it's the idea of confessing our sins one to another. Not that slide, I'm sorry. I don't have it there. Sorry about that, sister. Next time, make myself a note here. When I put the word slide here, make sure it's on the slides, okay? All right. But James tells us we are to confess our sins one to another. And by your confession, you are telling a friend that you have a problem with a particular sin or maybe a bad habit, and you have made a commitment to overcome that sin, that habit in your life. And by doing so, now your friend, the one person you've told, you now have someone to lean on. Someone to strengthen you when you are tempted to return to your old way. And when your friend sees you going in a direction that leads to temptation, that leads to a downfall, your friend now is there to warn you, to help you to remain faithful to the commitment that you have made not only to yourself, but to the Lord. And if you do relapse, when you tell somebody about your struggle, when you tell somebody, here are my goals, here's what I'm trying to do, if you do relapse, you now have your friend there to gently pick you up and to pray for you and to help you lead you right back in the right direction again. So it's important that we make a commitment and tell somebody about what our commitments are. Secondly, Dr. Wright says that we are to modify your environment. Say that with me. Modify your environment. Now, in other words, to change yourself, change your surroundings. I mean, the reason this is so significant is that our environment, the places we go, the people we fellowship, the music we listen to, the movies and TV shows that we watch, the internet sites we browse, the books we read, often have huge impact on who or what we perceive ourselves to be and what we become. And this is not some pop psychology drivel, okay? This is Bible. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, he says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character or good morals." Did you notice what he said? Don't be misled. Because people can lead you down the wrong path. Do you agree with that? Don't be misled. He says bad company corrupts. He doesn't say that it could corrupt, that it may corrupt. Perhaps it will. He says that it does corrupt good character or good morals. And then Solomon tells us like this. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, he says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." Now, how many of you ever had companion of fools in your life, in your past? Okay, some of you? Okay. I mean, I've had mine too. And these passages aren't teaching that you can't have non-Christian friends, but they are teaching that if your non-Christian friends have a greater evil influence on you than you do a godly influence on them, then you better start looking for some new friends. Okay? Because that's what it's teaching. So let me tell you about my companion of fools that were in my life. I was reared in a faithful, by faithful Christian parents. I mean, they took me to church every time the door was open and even when it wasn't. I mean, we went all the time for any function was in that church. We were there in that church. And as a teenager, I was extremely shy. I've shared this with you in small groups and other places. I was extremely shy. And it was difficult for me to make friends, and especially since we moved from a school where I attended for 10 and a half years to a school where I knew no one. And the few close friends that I had were non-Christians in school. They were non-Christians. I really haven't made friends within the church where we were attending yet or anything like that. But I made friends with these guys, and they were non-Christians. And really, they were kind of like thugs. They really were. And yet, I desperately wanted to be accepted by them. So I didn't let them know that I was a Christian. And needless to say, when I was with them, I acted much like them, you know, for the most part. And when I was with my parents or at church, you know, I was a good Christian young man, you know. But with them, you know, I mean, that's what happens when you're around bad company. You begin to act just like them. One night, I was riding with them, with three of these friends. And we were in the car, and they said something like, you know, where the town where I was a senior in high school, you know, we had a Sonics, and I mean, you know, you had the drag. Remember the drag? Anybody had the drag where you drive from one place to another, and then you stop at one place and you wait for girls? You ever done that? Okay, maybe I'm sharing too much, but you know, you go on the drag, you know, and then finally one of these guys said, "Listen, I've got a friend. I want us to go visit this friend of mine." And I had no idea who he was and where we were going, but we go to this guy's house. We get out of the car, all three of us, get out of the car, knock on the door. No one answers the door. And there's a dim light in the living room. And so he knocks again. Again, no one answers the door. And this one friend who said he knows this guy said, "Good, no one's here. Let's break in." And they wanted to go to this guy's house all along to steal his stereo equipment. And I had no idea what was going on, but I had been hiding the fact that I was a Christian. And I was pretending to be something that deep down I really was not. And I didn't know what to do. I knew I didn't want to break into this guy's house. But I just couldn't make myself say, "Hey, guys, Did I ever mention that I'm a Christian and I don't break into houses? Did I ever mention that to you?" I mean, all I knew to do was just pray. "God, please get me out of this mess and I'll never hang around these guys again." And the very moment that one of my so-called friends, you know, said, "Quick, I've got a crowbar in the back of the car, back of the trunk. Let's get the crowbar so that they could break into the house." And as soon as he said that, the guy who lived in that house opened the door. He was an airman in the Air Force. Again, a so-called friend, I guess, with this other guy who was going to break into his house. The reason he didn't hear us knock on the door is because he was listening to music on his headphones. And I tell you what, I was just so thankful to God that guy opened the door when he did, and I kept my promise. I never hung out with those guys again. So yes, we have companions of fools, okay, who can lead us down the wrong path. But our environment includes much more than just associating with bad company. I mean, your environment can contribute to your weight gain. Maybe making bad grades in school or having a poor job performance can be the result of your environment. Your environment can lead to put you in a financial bind. Many of these things can happen. But also, we got to understand, what then can we do? How can we modify our environment? Okay, I've got a couple of ways that we can do that. Number one is this: add motivating reminders. and motivating reminders, something that encourages us to keep after it, okay? If you want to lose weight, well, man, if you want to lose weight, put an unflattering fat picture of yourself on the refrigerator door. Or better yet, put a skinny picture of yourself. I mean, write your goals down and tape them to your bathroom mirror where you see them every day. Write them down, some scripture that encourage you to reach your goals and just place them before you where you see them every single day. I mean, this is what God told the children of Israel. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he tells them you need to fix his words in their hearts and minds. And how to do that, he says, I want you to tie them on symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on your door frames and your gates. And it was a way that they could be reminded every day, this is what God wants us to do. This is how God wants us to live. But secondly, remove distractions. Remove distractions. If you want to modify your environment, remove distractions and things that draw us away from making changes in our lives. And this can be very drastic, like breaking friendships. It could mean even staying away from a family member that has a bad influence on you. If you're married to the person, I don't know what you do, but you know what I'm talking about. It may mean quit stocking junk food, okay? If you have a weight problem, or you know, no longer going to Taco Bell and eat that Nachos Bel Grande, you know, that's so delicious. You know, don't do that anymore. Don't eat that as an afternoon snack. It could be turning off the television if you're not getting the housework done or spending enough time in prayer or Bible study. It could possibly mean cutting up the credit cards. Oh, I had to do mine. Cutting up those credit cards if your spending has gotten out of hand. And really, if you can't pay off the credit card every month, then don't have one. Don't have one. Chop those things up. Maybe it even requires disconnecting the internet. Disconnecting the internet. If you can't stay off from the porno sites, man, get rid of it. Your soul is worth a lot more than that internet. Amen? It's worth a lot more. James says this. The Hebrew writer says this, Hebrews 12, verse 1. He says, let us throw off everything. Say that word with me, everything. What does that include? Everything, okay? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race, the goal marked out for us. All right. Number three, Dr. Wright says you need to monitor your behavior. Monitor your behavior. Say that with me. Monitor your behavior. In other words, constantly evaluate your progress along the way and reaching your goals. You know, each year, the number one New Year's resolutions, I checked this, I wanted to make sure, and I thought it was, but the number one New Year's resolutions every single year in America and maybe around the world, is to get more fit, okay? Which includes eating less and exercising more. The number one goal. And regarding losing weight, Dr. Wright said, if you monitor what you do, you'll probably do better. He said, weigh yourself regularly and you may well start to lose weight. Keep a record of what you eat and you'll probably start eating more wisely. And of course, there are phone apps. You can just put apps on your phone, download it, and you know, monitor, keep a track of your food, keep track of your weight, all these things that are already there for you to help you to keep track. You know, being genetically predisposed to obesity, my mother's side of the family was obese. I've dealt with it all my life. My children have dealt with it. I struggle with a weight problem. Again, I struggle with, again, most of my life, if not really all of my life. I shared with some of you during our small group Bible study that we had this past fall that I was working on trying to lose weight. And before Christmas, I had lost 25 pounds. Before Christmas. Gained 5 of it back during Christmas. You know, something like that happens from time to time. But to stay on top of this problem, I decided to do, I weigh myself every single Monday morning. And I keep a record of how much weight loss or gain. And if I gain weight, that tells me, okay, this week, man, I've got to get back on the track, okay? And that's what I'm having to do now, you know, get back on track, you know, to make whatever adjustments I need to make so I can get back on track and try to, you know, continue to lose weight. And knowing this is a real struggle for me, if I do not regularly monitor my weight and watch what I eat, man, it will get out of control very quickly. Does anybody else have that kind of problem? Okay, maybe, okay, some others have raised their hands as well. So, and this works not only with weight gain or loss, but it also works with other goals as well. Keeping a budget. I mean, I keep a monthly budget. I mean, I write it down, and I write it down. Although I do have a program I can put on my computer, I don't do it that way. Man, I write that thing down because I like to be able to make whatever adjustments I need to make. And I write it down, a monthly budget, every single month, and I strive to stick to that budget as best as I possibly can. And if I have to spend something that's not on my budget, then something else comes off. Because that's the way that a budget works. And so it will help you curb your spending, help you manage your spending. Keep a record of how you'll spend your time and on what activity. You know, during the day, maybe we'll help with procrastination, whatever it might be. But this also helps with spiritual goals. Because that's really what's most important, isn't it? Those spiritual goals. We need to monitor our spiritual progression to see if we are growing in Christ. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Paul said we need to examine ourselves. And by examining ourselves spiritually, we will discover areas where we are greatly lacking. Where we are lacking. And become more what Christ wants us to be. I mean, for instance, again, This is a real struggle for many Christians, and I think it's becoming more and more so as we look around our assembly today. Many people who are not here, again, not because they're ill, not because of COVID scares or concerns, but many are here simply because they chose not to be here. But I believe that if we are not in the habit of attending worship every Sunday, if we will start marking on our calendars, if you are not in the habit of attending worship every Sunday, mark on your calendars the Sunday that you are not here. Because most people will tell you that I only miss 5 or 6 Sundays a year. But I guarantee you, if they mark it on their calendar, they're going to see that it's more like 20, 25 Sundays a year that they miss. Because they have made it a habit of forsaking the assembly. If your goal is to read your Bible more, keep a record of when and what you read. Write down, you know, what that reading meant for you that day. If you want to increase your prayer life, keep a record of your prayers. Write down your prayers, even. Write down how God answered your prayers. No matter what, how you do it, the most important thing is to monitor where you are as you grow more and more in the likeness of Christ. And then finally, number four, Dr. Wright says you need to maximize your momentum. Say that with me, maximize your momentum. I mean, once we get the ball rolling on whatever changes we're trying to make, it becomes a lot easier to maintain. Once you get the ball rolling, and this is true whether it's losing weight, worshiping regularly, studying your Bible, spending more time with your family, sticking with a budget, whatever it is. Again, Paul tells the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, he says, brothers, stand firm. Say that with me. Stand firm. One more time. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor of the Lord is not in vain. So how do we do that? How do we maximize our momentum? Number one, is that we celebrate your successes. Celebrate your success. Of course, this doesn't mean that if you lose 10 pounds, you know, that you can go out and celebrate, you know, with a triple dip hot fudge sundae. That's not what we're talking about. But maybe you could buy a, you know, a new pair of jeans, or some, you know, bright colored pants that Dory had on today, you know, whatever it might be, you know. Share your good news with a friend. Savor the encouraging comments, you know, that they talk about your success. I mean, every achievement that takes us closer in accomplishing our goals, I think, needs to be celebrated. Secondly, don't give up when you fail. Well, this is key. You know, I gained 5 pounds over the holidays. It'd be so easy to say, well, forget that. But no, getting back on track once again. There's going to be setbacks along the way. But the worst thing we can do is quit. I know, because I have been a quitter in the past. That's why I've regained all the weight that I've lost in the past, you know, and suffer for it. I mean, I with all the weight that I've lost in my lifetime, I should have disappeared a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what happens. Our Father in heaven is the God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances. The main thing is to keep chipping away at our old selves to become more what Christ wants us to be. So here's the question I want you to consider this morning is this. What changes do you need to make in your life? Excuse me. And it's not just making changes. It's making changes to become more like Christ. Again, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote in Philippians, used the word I 11 times. But you know, when I look at the Apostle Paul, man, I looked at this spiritual giant. And I think, man, I want to be like Paul. And Paul says, I'm not where I want to be. He says, I am not perfect yet. I haven't reached my goal yet. I want to be like Jesus. And truthfully, we'll never be like Jesus on this earth. But every day we want to become more like Him, don't we? And we want to do whatever it takes to become more like Him. You know, I look over this church, and I see so many people gone. I want to see people as excited about following Jesus as I am. I want to see people as excited about following Jesus as you are. Because you're here every Sunday. Every Sunday. Because you know how important it is to your spiritual growth to be here. And we know of people within this church who are no longer here. And if you know somebody personally, if you have any influence on that person at all, personally, will you reach out to that person, reach out to that family, and just say, we love you, we miss you, we want you back. We want you back. Because we are our brother's keeper, aren't we? We are our brother's keeper. And we want to do more, not only for ourselves to grow in the Lord, but we want others to grow in the Lord as well. If you're here today, we're going to be singing this invitation song. If you're here today, I'm just asking each of us to kind of evaluate our own lives, where we are spiritually, where we are in our family, where we are personally, to evaluate our own lives and to realize, man, there's some areas where I really need to grow. There's some areas where I really fall short in becoming more like Christ. There's areas of my life spiritually where I fall short and I need to work on those areas. There's areas of my life as a family, in my family, where I fall short. There's areas of my life personally where I fall short and I would become more like Christ. We want to become more like Jesus. Am I right about that? So ask yourselves, where can I grow? What can I do to become more like Jesus? And today, if we can help you, if we can pray for you, if we can encourage you in any way, we ask you to come as together we stand and we sing. Thank you. I have, are we having a youth group tonight? No youth group tonight? I don't have that announcement.